This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back to another episode of the Biohacker Bonnie podcast, where we talk all things health, wellness, longevity, and of course, biohacking. I'm your host, Jenny Jones, and I've spent years exploring cutting-edge ways to optimize the body and brain so you can take your health into your own hands. Today, we're exploring one of the most transformative topics, hair health. I'm joined by Dr. Alan Bauman, a board-certified hair restoration physician and founder of Bauman Medical in Boca Raton, Florida. Dr. Bauman is a pioneer in the field of regenerative hair restoration and has performed over 30,000 procedures, helping patients regain not only their hair, but their confidence and vitality. So if you have ever wondered what really works for hair growth and restoration, this conversation is full of insight and science-backed strategies you won't want to miss. Also, please be sure to subscribe, review, and share the Biohacker Bonnie podcast with anyone looking to optimize their health, beauty, and longevity. Your support helps me continue bringing you conversations with the world's leading experts in biohacking and wellness. Okay, well, welcome to another episode of the Biohacker Bonnie podcast. I'm so excited because we're here with Dr. Alan Bauman, and you're a board-certified hair restoration physician and founder of Bauman Medical here in Boca Raton. So we're going to get all into hair, everything from, I don't know, lasers, microneedling, PRP to hair restoration. And I'm really excited for us to be here and talking all things hair. So thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. And if you can give a little introduction, and what was your inspiration behind hair restoration?
Yeah, well, thanks, Jane. Really great to be here with you. I can't wait to talk all things hair with you and chat everything about biohacking baldness and increasing people's hair span, as we say, in this world. And so just talking a little bit about, you know, how I got started in hair. Well, you know, you're not really born into hair transplant surgery, unfortunately. So my first inspiration in the world of cosmetic procedures and treatments was from a mentor who performed plastic surgery, and he was a close friend of the family. Seeing his patients go through life-changing transformations, not just restoratively, rejuvenatively, looking younger, feeling better, was an inspiration to me to want to do that for my patients. But I didn't really know much about hair transplants until I met a patient who had had one himself.
And what was this?
So this is back in the mid-1990s.
Oh, my God.
When hair transplants were basically considered kind of pluggy, maybe painful to go through, not really all that natural looking. Mm. And I was introduced to this patient. He was getting something else done at the time. And it had been mentioned in his medical history that he had had a hair transplant. And so, but I'm looking at him like, trying to figure out, where are the transplanted hairs? Because, you know, from a social distance, he looked amazing. I mean, it looked like he had a very youthful head of hair. And so we got into this conversation about, like, where he had his hair transplant done, like what geographic location, and then where on his scalp and how it was accomplished. Because it was totally different than what I expected to see. I expected to see plugs, and it didn't look like that at all.
Wow. So this was, when did this start becoming a thing instead of, what was it, toupees or where people would put on a wig, basically? When did we start doing hair transplants?
So, well, wigs, weaves, toupees, and hair systems have been around, you know, for the millennia, obviously. Yeah. And hair plug type transplants, the real pluggy looking procedures, were done in the 1960s through the 1990s.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, what happened after that is we got to a period where we could do more microsurgical work.
Yeah.
Transplanting single follicles, one hair follicle at a time. And that's what this patient had had. And that's one of the reasons why he looked so good.
So out of all these years, what have you learned about hair transplants and how has it progressed?
Well, it's changed a lot, right? So what I expected to see back in that first patient, the old plugs were totally gone. What he had had done was single follicle implantation. And remember, in the world of hair transplant, we went from plugs to strip harvesting, where we would take a strip out of the back of the scalp, to now what we do today, minimally invasive follicular unit extraction, which is basically taking individual groupings of hairs, one or two or three hairs each, and moving them around into the thing or the balding area.
So people can just get a certain patch of baldness. They don't need to do the whole head. Because I've seen a lot of people, too, with hair transplants. It looks like they're shaving the whole head and then doing the hair transplant. So is it you shave the whole? I have no idea about the process. And I don't think a lot of people do understand the whole process. And people are going overseas just hoping, you know, in Turkey or somewhere where they can get this procedure done. But exactly what is the typical for this hair transplant?
Yeah, so let's back up a little bit. So hair transplantation is the redistribution of the hair follicles that make the hair.
Okay.
And the reason why we go to the back of the scalp is because those are resistant. They're basically permanent hair follicles. Wherever we put them, they'll live and grow forever. And so what I mentioned previously is that we're going to take those hair follicles with a minimally invasive approach.
Okay.
We can move a little of them, little number of them, right, for an eyebrow or eyelashes, or we can move a lot of them for a total scalp restoration. So it really just depends on what the patient needs when it comes to the transplant.
So you're taking you're taking all of the hairs. Exactly. I'm still confused with this procedure. So you're taking their hair follicles and implanting them each around the hair or on the scalp.
In a thinning or balding area, you could have weaker quality hair.
Okay.
Which we try to enhance with non-invasive treatments. Mm-hmm. Or you could have hair follicles that are missing or gone.
Yeah.
And that's where transplantation is going to be needed.
But are you putting in the hair in each individual follicle that has died?
So the follicle is what creates the hair. So once the hair follicle is dead and gone, there's nothing that can be done to rejuvenate that.
Yeah.
So the follicle is like the organ under the skin that makes the hair fiber. And that's what we're taking from the back of the scalp and we're implanting. So the follicle itself is a tiny little organ. Imagine like, you know, about the thickness of a ballpoint pen tip and maybe an eighth of an inch deep, let's say, or 16th of an inch deep in the skin. So that's what we're taking from the back of the scalp and putting into the front.
If you want better sleep, focus, brain health, immunity, energy, and even a more peaceful mood, I have to tell you about a supplement brand I'm obsessed with. I like to think of myself as a bit of a connoisseur of supplements, and let me tell you, I found some of the most delicious, high-quality stacks out there. They're called Sunny Within, and they came in these individual liposomal packets that taste like a sweet treat, but with all the health benefits. What makes them different? Made with 100% organic avocado oil, no stevia or fillers, just clean ingredients. And because they're liposomal, they're more absorbable than most supplements on the market. I honestly look forward to taking them every day. They taste amazing and I feel the difference. And here's the best part, you can use my discount code BiohackerBlondie for 25% off your order. That's such a good deal. You can just go and head to sunnywithin.com/biohackerBlondie or click the link in the show notes to grab yours today. Fuel your body with supplements that actually work and taste good while doing it.
And then that's going
to
heal.
So someone is completely bald. I'm trying to understand if I'm a guy and I am completely bald.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do if I'm completely bald?
So, well, my dad had total baldness before we transplanted him.
Okay.
So he's a great example.
Uh-huh.
What we started to do, and luckily he had enough supply, right? Those are the hair follicles around the sides and the back of the scalp. So he's
completely bald.
Well, remember, male pattern baldness only affects the hairline to the crown. So it at least preserves that area around the sides and the back of the scalp. Wow. If you see a gentleman who is completely bald, has no hair around the sides, either he has an autoimmune condition or he's shaving it.
Yeah. Okay.
So male pattern baldness starts as a receding hairline, thinning in the crown, and it could take away all the hair up on the top. But it always preserves the hair around the sides and the back. So those are the locations of the follicles that we harvest, the donor location, where we take the follicles and reimplant them into the thin hair of the balding area. So we don't take all of them. We only take some.
And then, but if you only have so many, is it going to cover all the rest of the head? Because this isn't the same, amount as you would need everywhere.
That's a very common question, right? Because you only have a limited amount of supply. How does that cover the whole scalp?
Yeah.
Well, it has to do with the magic of hair. And what I mean by that is that just like you can lose 50% of your hair without it being noticeable to the naked eye, we can put back 30 to 40% of what you have lost and it will look like full coverage. So it's a bit of an illusion. You're never going to get all the density back that you had before, but you have enough to make it look like coverage.
Okay. So how long does this procedure take? What do people expect? I want to know, because I'm sure a lot of people are dealing with baldness and I feel like it can be transformative, especially for men. And they have now a full set of hair. It completely can change their life. So they would come to you, you would look at their follicles, and what is the typical procedure and how long does this take?
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long distance relationship, becoming a first step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
What's the cost?
Well, the first thing is it starts with an evaluation. So we just don't run and jump into a hair transplant procedure, because male pattern baldness is something, and female pattern hair loss is also something that's chronic and progressive. It gets worse with time without treatment. So the first thing we do is evaluate the scalp.
Okay.
Look at the areas that are more permanent and compare that to the areas that are thinning and determine what is going on. So by the time you notice that your hairline is receded, you're probably going to need some transplants in that area. But if you have some hair left behind, we've got to protect that area first. So part of the hair restoration regimen is not just signing up for your hair transplant. You've got to get on the medical therapies and non-invasive treatments to protect the other hairs first.
If you're spending money on your skincare routine, serums, moisturizers, facials, but if you're still washing your face with tap water, you might be undoing it all. Tap water can be filled with chlorine, heavy metals, and impurities that strip your skin's natural microbiome, leading to breakouts, dryness, and dullness. But what if I told you I had the answer? It's called Filter Baby, and it's a total game changer. You just screw it on to your bathroom faucet, super easy, and thousands of people, including me, are already seeing the difference in their skin. I used to get random breakouts for no reason, but since using Filter Baby, I have clear, calm, and healthy skin. If you deal with acne, sensitive skin, or just want your glow back, Filter Baby is a no-brainer. Click the link in the show notes or head to the shop tab on my website, and don't forget to use the code BIOHACKERBONDY for a special discount. Your skin will thank you. Peptides are all the rage right now for immunity, recovery, healing, and even weight loss. But I know some of you might be a little hesitant about injecting them. Well, I have the solution, and that is Level Up Health. They have created oral peptides formulated in the best stacks to make them efficient, powerful, and easy to use. They have every stack you can imagine, including BPC 157 for recovery and healing, GHKCU for glowing skin and healthy hair, KPV for immunity support, and DNF10 for weight management, and so many more. You can try them today and save with my special discount code BiohackerBlondie. That's Biohacker, B-L-O-N-D-I, without the E at the end. Or you can just click the link in the show notes to order. With Level Up Health, you can experience all the benefits of peptides without the needles.
So that's the most important thing that we do first.
I know you guys have a whole thing of just measuring and doing all these things of the density of the hair and everything. So can you kind of give a little what you do for testing before?
Sure. So, of course, there are many things that could be affecting your hair. We talk about lifestyle conditions, your nutrition, if you have whole body inflammation, if your scalp is healthy or not, right? Those are things you could maybe on some medications that could be interrupting hair follicle function. But we go over all of that first, right? And then we're going to look and measure what's the density. So how many hairs are in each zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many hairs per square inch or per square centimeter gives us the numbers of hairs in each particular area. And then we're also measuring the thickness of the hair that's being produced. Because hair in the back of the scalp, as I mentioned before, is going to be more permanent. You're going to have a higher quality of hair in that zone compared to an area that's thinning. And so if you have an area that's thinning, you want to know, well, how bad is it there?
Yeah.
And so that's where the microscopes come into play. So we use Hairmetrics, for example, which is an AI-powered microscope. We take a picture in each different zone. Those photos go up to the cloud and they come back and analyzed. Hair density, how many hairs per square centimeter, and the average hair thickness. So each hair is looked at by the microscope, and the thickness of the hairs down to the micron is tracked and measured.
And you could see inflammation as well.
Well, with a microscope, we can see the signs of inflammation.
Okay.
Inflammation might be happening under the skin. We don't know. But we can see things like redness, irritation, scaling of the skin. If the skin is ulcerated or broken or sore, or if you have an ingrown hair or like a pimple on your scalp, folliculitis. We can see all of that happening if we need to. And if we see that, then we're going to address it, right?
And something I didn't think about too is that you could see if your follicles are getting clogged up. And I don't think people are thinking about that, but if you have buildup of you know, shampoo or conditioner or, you know, any of those ingredients kind of building up, and then that can suffocate the follicles. So,
well, let's talk about that, because I think clogged follicles, sometimes there's a little misconception there.
Okay.
If a follicle is alive and producing a hair, it's not going to get clogged by something. The follicle will continue to produce the hair.
Okay.
But that's not to say that you can't have buildup on the skin, like skin cells that are exfoliating, excessive oil production. Between the oil and the skin cells that are coming off, you need to have good hygiene. That's really, really important because the microbiome of the scalp can be disrupted. And those are the microorganisms that live on the skin of the scalp, right? And so if you have like an overgrowth of one microorganism versus another, that's what creates inflammation and irritation. And that's what can disrupt hair follicle function. So you can't really clog a follicle, so to speak. But it does make sense. Like if you left all kinds of product or debris on your scalp, it's not going to be healthy, right?
Yeah.
But it's not really clogging things.
Yeah.
Right? Think about it this way also. In a hair transplant, if I push a follicle too deep under the skin, which obviously we try not to do ever.
Okay.
But if we did, it's going to grow through. It's going to produce a hair like a dandelion through a sidewalk. It's going to keep growing until it finds its way out.
Ah, interesting.
So it gets really hard to like clog a follicle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. So I want to go a little bit back to hair transplants, but then there's so much to get into of what causes hair loss.
Sure.
So the typical procedure, someone, if they do have, like for men, the receding hairline and, you know, the follicles, I guess, are dead and they want hair transplant just here, do they have to shave their whole head and then do the hair transplant, or would you just take some of these hair here and implant it there?
So there are many, many clinics around the world that only perform hair transplants by shaving the whole head.
Okay.
That is not something
we
do.
I keep saying on TikTok.
Yeah. This is not what we do at Bauman Medical.
Okay.
Okay. So for over 25 years, many of my patients are women. Do you think women would let me shave their head?
No.
Right. So we learned, not by any other way than by through necessity, for those women that had a hair transplant, we couldn't shave their head.
Yeah.
So we had to figure out how to implant the follicles in between the existing hair without trimming it.
Okay.
So that's not a problem. So we don't have to shave your head, do a hair transplant. In fact, we never shave the recipient area. Okay. We never do.
Okay.
Years ago, to do a large session of transplants, we'd have to get access to the donor zone. Mm-hmm. So for our male patients, we're talking 3,000-4,000 grafts or more, we did have to shave a wide area.
Okay.
But today, we can do a different type of technique, which allows us to take the follicles still one at a time without shaving the hair.
Okay.
Now, that's a little bit more laborious. It's more labor intensive, right? It's a little bit slower.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the same maximum amount of hair in the same amount of time, but it enables you to have the most discreet hair transplant because no shaving occurs at all.
So for women,
yeah,
would you not, you wouldn't have to cut the hair. Would you take the hair and implant it to wherever it's bald, and would it be the same length?
Well, there's a couple of ways to do it. No, let's talk about what happens to the hair follicle when we transplant it. First of all, for women, sometimes we do it the way that I just described, where we don't shave anything.
Okay.
Like, for example, for eyelashes and eyebrows, we want to leave the hair long because we want to see the curl.
Okay.
Generally, for our women who have longer hair, we can shave a little tiny zone, like a stealth shave, right? So a little tiny area, it's covered with your existing hair. You won't see it after the during the healing or even afterwards.
Yeah.
Right? So there's ways to make it more efficient without shaving a big swath.
Okay.
We can take the follicles with the long hair intact, but hair follicles during the healing phase, they shut down. So those hairs might be visible immediately, but only for a short period of time.
And then they will die off.
They shed out. Well, they don't die.
Okay.
The hair follicle will cycle off and turn off, but it still be healed under the skin. Hair follicle shuts down. The hair is ejected. And then months later, the hair will then regrow.
So I never thought I'd include whey protein in my diet until I found Kona Nutrition. Now I get it, why it's everyone's go-to for building muscle, because it actually works. I had the pleasure of interviewing the founder, and we talked all about whey versus beef isolate and why whey is more effective when it comes to building muscle. But Kona Nutrition is more than just protein powder. Their whole mission is health first. Their whey comes from cows that have 2 acres to roam. It's grass-fed, RBST-free, no soy, no GMOs, no antibiotics. It's minimally processed with the lowest heat possible, which makes it way easier on the digestive system. And it's third-party tested. Seriously, it's the cleanest whey protein I've ever tried. I add it to my frothed milk, my cookies, my psyllium husk breakfast, and it's the perfect way to start your day with protein to help balance blood glucose and stay full longer. You can find the link in the show notes for a special discount, or you can use my code BIOHACKERBLONDIE at checkout. So I have some exciting news. I just launched my brand new fitness platform.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Happier Health Fitness, and I could not be more excited to share it with you. For a limited time, you can try it free for 7 days, and after that, it's just $9.99 a month or $99 for the year. That's it. Think about it. We spend almost $10 on a latte or smoothie, but now you can have unlimited workouts anytime, anywhere, for the same price. These workouts are designed to work your core, lengthen, strengthen, and energize your body, no gym required, and they're perfect for all levels. Whether you're at home, traveling, or squeezing in a quick session on a busy day, I've got you covered. The link is in the show notes below, or you can head straight to happierhealthfitness.com and join today. Your best body and your best health starts here. I can't wait to see you inside.
Okay. The transplant is here.
So how long does the procedure take? We'll say for someone who's bald, a guy who's bald, how long would the procedure take?
You just snap your fingers. Snap your fingers, you wake up with a head of hair. No.
Soon. AI solves everything.
No, yeah, I wish it was that easy. So hair transplant is truly a labor of love. It takes many, many, many hours to perform this procedure. And some of our procedures go more than a single day. Wow. So we may do back-to-back days, depending on the session size.
Wow.
So, but sometimes, let's just call a small area. You asked about a man with a receding hairline. Usually, not every time, but usually that's done in all in one session, all in one day.
And it would be different, as you have to be somewhat of an artist to do this, because you have to kind of think about how someone's going to maybe age, the skin and all that. It's not just like, here, draw a line and put in the hair.
No, and that's a very smart to acknowledge that, because the problem with many hair transplants that are being done out there in the world today is that people are just drawing a straight line, like a laser straight line, and Mother Nature doesn't make a hairline like that. Only the barber does when he shaves it into a straight line.
Yeah.
So what's really important is the artistry, and that's the critical component. Anywhere on the scalp, the hairs angle and orient differently. Mm. That's what creates the shingling effect of coverage. And so if you ignore the natural patterns of the way the hairs naturally grow, then you're going to be hamstrung in terms of getting coverage. Like if you put hairs into the scalp perpendicularly, it's almost impossible to get decent coverage without a huge numbers of hairs, right? But if you angle them, you can get them to shingle one on top of another and get coverage. So like the swirl, for example, the cowlick on the back of the scalp, you have to exactly recreate that if you want to achieve coverage in that area.
So interesting.
The other piece.
People are not thinking of
it. No, they're not thinking of this at all. They're thinking of like, you know, some distant tourist destination where they don't speak the language and, you know, they draw a straight line and off you go.
Yeah, this is what you see.
But the other piece of it is not just the artistry of the angle, the position of each individual graft, but it's how we design the hairline appropriately. So for men, we don't want to create something that looks like a teenager. That would look ridiculous as you age. Yeah. So an age-appropriate hairline that looks youthful and good, but not overstep the bounds of naturalness where it's so obvious you had it done.
Yeah.
And then for women, a female hairline looks totally different. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of artistry that goes into the planning and the execution of a hair transplant.
I have a widow's peak, so I probably...
I love your widow's peak. It's beautiful. Talked about that.
So what do people need to do before a hair transplant? And is there anyone who's not eligible for a hair transplant?
Well, there can be many reasons why you're not a great candidate for hair transplant surgery. You could have inappropriate expectations of what the procedure provides, right? That's not so good. You think, oh, it's just going to be a one and done and that's it. No, maybe you need more than one procedure. So that is handled during a consultative process, right? An evaluation. So finding a board certified hair restoration physician is really the first bit of business that you need to handle, you know, and this is not an evaluation that you're going to do on a text chat on WhatsApp, okay, with a couple of photos. This is something that's going to require about an hour with the measurements that we talked about, mm-hmm. with all the lifestyle factors and putting the medical non-invasive treatment options together to help protect the existing hair and so forth.
Yeah.
To make sure we have the right diagnosis.
Yeah.
Hair loss can happen in women, not just because of female pattern hair loss, but there's scarring alopecias that create scar tissue on the skin. And you want to make sure that you don't have that before you transplant.
Yeah. So what would you recommend anyone before doing the procedure? I mean, should, especially to preserve any of the hair that they already have. And then what, is there anything I need to do to kind of, you know, make sure my skin and my follicles are prepared?
Well, no, absolutely. There's a lot to do, right? So we complete that evaluation, those lifestyle factors, if we have to tune those up. Well, if you're low in iron or vitamin D or whatever, you know, like we got to get that handled under control. If during the scalp exam, there's irritation, inflammation, something is happening, there's buildup, there's, you know, excessive sebum or you know, scalp cells, let's say, you know, exfoliating, we need to get that cleaned out. You need to do an exfoliation process before you undergo the transplant. Get that cleaned up and organized. Medical therapies are going to fall into a variety of categories. There's nutrients, right? There's vitamins and minerals, protein, and we have supplements sometimes that we have to add for that or change the diet.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's herbal types of treatments like nutraceuticals, things that can reduce inflammation without putting you on a medication. Things that can help you handle stress, right? Things that can improve circulation, for example.
Would you ever recommend someone just going straight into doing a hair restoration and
the transplant, or would you say, no, I need you to do all these things first?
If you are thinking that the transplant is the only thing you need to do, then guess what? You're not a great candidate for a hair transplant.
Okay.
Because you don't understand what's going on. Unless you have an area like that is an injury or a scar, where that's all we're doing is fixing that.
Yeah.
In general, as I said before, hair loss is a chronic and progressive condition. So the first order of business is to stabilize the existing hair and to try to improve it. Mm-hmm. And so all the lifestyle and nutritional factors we just talked about, plus there may be medications that we would consider, red light therapy in the form of laser cap, either home or in the office. There's a variety of regenerative treatments, mm-hmm. such as peptides, platelet-rich plasma, exosome therapy, to stabilize the existing hair. You have to get that handled.
I know. There's so much that you can do for your hair that people are just becoming aware of.
Yeah.
So
remember, because here's the most important thing to understand is that the transplants are relatively permanent. They're going to be there forever.
Okay.
But it's the native hair, right? The indigenous hair, as we say. That's what's on its way out.
Yeah.
So you have to keep it.
I know. And I feel like you have to take action right away before it gets any worse.
What are you saying? Time is follicles? This is what we always say. Time equals follicles, because if you have wasted time, if you've delayed in terms of therapies and treatments, then you've lost some ground.
Yeah.
Right? Those follicles could be beyond repair next week, next month, next year. You know, if you're hiding under a baseball cap, or you're using hair extensions to hide it, you know, or using camouflage powders, you're delaying the inevitable treatments that you're going to need.
Yeah, and I think a lot of 20-year-olds, especially men, they start becoming bald, or they still have the receding hairline, and they wait, and it's too late. So I think a lot of people need to be aware of, if you see hair loss in your 20s, take action now before your follicles are not alive anymore.
Get the measurements and get the evaluation. If you think that you're at risk, we always say come in early and get the interventions, because the early interventions are much less invasive.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think a lot of people just thought baldness was the only thing that, you know, the only answer. But now there's so much you can do to prevent hair loss. So it's like, take action now. And then I just want to go back to the hair restoration. So once someone has the procedure, which takes maybe a day at the most or so, what would be the post? Like, when do people start seeing the hair come in? Are they in pain? What is like the after procedure?
Yeah, so traditionally, people used to be in significant discomfort after hair transplant, especially the invasive kind where they take a strip with the stitches or staples in the back of their scalp. Obviously, that we've removed and eliminated. So we're not dealing with a big wound healing area. So most patients will do fine with maybe a Tylenol or Motrin at night.
Okay.
After the procedure, you know, they may feel a little bit of pressure. The scalp is still mostly numb.
Okay.
You know, so the recovery phase is pretty quick. Now, visibly, it's going to be a little crusty and scabby.
Right along.
For about 6 days or so.
Okay.
You know, and there are ways to kind of, you know, hack that process too. You know, we can stack on the exosome therapy at the time of the treatment. We can do hyperbaric oxygen. We could do a NanoV. We can do, supplements or IVs or things like that to really accelerate the body's recovery.
Wow.
So that's all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah.
That it'll do.
So when will someone who's bald, when will they start seeing the hair grow?
Right. So the hairs that we've transplanted, as we said previously, the follicle shuts down and a little tiny stubble of hair is shed out.
Okay.
And then in about 4 to 5 months, the hairs will usually kick in and start to grow little by little by little. So it starts off very tiny, thin, weak, wispy, low density hair. And it gets, every week, it's thicker and stronger and darker and longer, you know?
Wow.
So 6 months is usually about halfway.
Okay.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
9 months is about 75% of the way grown in terms of the visible result. And then at 1 year, it's about 95% grown in.
Wow.
Yeah. So it takes a while.
Right. So how long will this last forever too? Or do people need to redo this?
So the transplanted hair is relatively permanent if it's selected from the correct area, right? Around the more permanent zones, the sides and the back of the scalp. Mm. So those hairs should be good.
Okay.
And then ongoing, you're going to do your hair homework, right? So is it going to be nutritionals or medications or coming in for regenerative treatments like PRP on the annual, whatever might be needed to help maintain existing hair? Mm. Most people will be good. Like once you reach your goal, you're going to be good for about 7 to 10 years. Okay. Right? Now, some people need two procedures, like back to back, like 1 year after the next to get the density they want.
Okay.
But after that, once you're good and you're on the regimen with the follow-ups and the measurements, you should be okay, like I said, 7 to 10 years before you need a little tune-up.
Well, interesting. And would I treat the area where I did have the implanted hair the same as my other hair? Like, would I be wanting to do the red light or any of the PRP in the area where you implant?
Well, the transplants don't honestly need too much help.
Okay.
Really, once they're growing, that's not to say that they can't be enhanced by PRP or even red light therapy, as you mentioned, or good nutrition and scalp health, right?
Yeah.
Make sure that all that's on point. But as I said, the hormonal effects of male and female pattern hair loss are not going to impact the transplanted hairs. It's the other hairs that you need to be concerned about.
Yeah.
So you want to be paranoid about your native hair.
So interesting. So what is the main cause for hair loss? Why do men start losing their hair in their 20s?
So 20% of men have visible signs of hair loss, right? 30% of men in their 30s, 40% of men in their 40s. And we know it's hereditary.
Okay.
Genetically, what's going on?
Yeah.
They're predisposed in those areas of concern to be sensitive to their body's hormones. So male hormone called DHT, dihydrotestosterone, it's a byproduct of testosterone, is the trigger for the miniaturization, the weakening effect of the hair follicle. And it always happens in pretty much the same pattern. Receding hairline happens first in the temples and the hairline. You get some thinning in the crown, and then eventually you can lose it all. Yeah, but the interesting thing is those follicles around the sides and the back are resistant to the DHT.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And in women too, we think that there is a DHT or androgen component as well.
So if men are taking TRT, would that affect the hair loss?
So if you're sensitive, right? So if you're prone
to
male pattern hair loss and your testosterone is a little bit low or you're optimizing it, and even if you're not adding testosterone into your system, but let's say you're just doing resistance training, sometimes your testosterone can be boosted. That's going to create more DHT on the back end. That can accelerate the hair loss.
You guys know I'm always looking for science-backed ways to improve gut health and immunity, and this one blew my mind. I started using Kepos, the first human milk, yes, human milk equivalent superfood. It's based on human milk oligosaccharides, which are these incredible molecules that help feed your good gut bacteria, strengthen immunity, and even support brain health. Honestly, I wish I had this years ago. It's been such a game changer for my digestion and overall energy. If you want to try this for yourself and see how it works in your own life, just head to the link in the show notes and use my special discount code BiohackerBlondie for 15% off your order. Simple, easy, and such a game changer. You've heard me talk about fasting before, but I get it. Fasting isn't easy to stick to. That's why I personally love Prolon, the 5-day fasting mimicking diet. It's backed by decades of research from Dr. Walter Longo at USC, and it gives you the benefits of fasting, cellular renewal, metabolism reset, and longevity support without giving up food completely. You will notice steady energy, better focus, and you won't feel deprived. If you want to try it for yourself, Prolon is offering my listeners 25% off your first order. Just head to the link in the show notes, or you can head to my website under the shop tab,
or just go directly to prolonglife.com/BHB. It's a great reset if you're ready to support your long-term health in a real research-backed way. Peptides are gaining huge popularity right now, but let's be honest, finding a company you can truly trust has been one of the hardest parts of ordering them, because we want all the incredible benefits of peptides without the endotoxins or low-quality fillers. Well, I have the solution, and it's called Bahala Vitality. These are pharmaceutical-grade peptides sourced through a compounding pharmacy, so you know you're getting the highest quality and purity. And it's simple. All you have to do is fill out your medical information, book a quick consultation, and then peptides are shipped straight to your door. It's that simple, and the best part, you can use my special discount code JENNY20 for 20% off your order. Just click the link in the show notes to get started today. With Bahala Vitality, you can biohack smarter, safely, and effectively.
So the answer is yes, right? If you're adding testosterone in, that's getting converted to DHT, and that can accelerate hair loss. So we see patients all the time, and Dave Asprey is a great example. He did hormone replacement therapy with testosterone. He happened to use pellets, which, you know, made his testosterone, you know, go through the roof, and he receded about an inch from his hairline, and it knocked out all of the hair in his crown, like a huge bald spot crater, like within a very short period of time.
Wow.
That's why he needed my hair transplant.
Yeah. Well, now he has nice, luscious hair. So,
yeah. And he's taking care of it. So he knows he made that mistake.
Yeah.
And we you know, unfortunately, he required the transplant to fix it. But we also see that in women, too. So let's say postmenopausal women who are on hormone replacement therapy, hormone optimization, which includes testosterone. If they're overdoing it with the testosterone, they can see their hairline recede. Almost like male pattern baldness.
Would you suggest, I know some women are doing microdosing of testosterone, so maybe that would be something. So you're saying just if you're going overboard, basically, with the testosterone, you want to keep everything balanced. You want to keep your hormones balanced. And when you're doing too much of something, that's where the hair can come out.
For sure. I mean, but remember that even just a little bit, if you're sensitive to it, could be, you know, quote unquote, too much for your hair follicles. So if you're... My rule is that if you're thinking about hormone optimization, man or woman, you should get your hair checked.
Yeah.
You know, at least get a baseline, get a measurement so you know, like 6 months or 9 months or 12 months later, did it change?
Yeah, that's a really good point to do before and make sure it's not getting worse on any type of hormone replacement.
And we speak about this to longevity docs and health and wellness professionals all the time, actually. For many, many years, I've been a member of the American Academy of Anti-Aging. And so actually since 1998, and one of my most frequently attended presentations and lectures at that organization has been how to manage hair loss in the presence of hormone optimization.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's
a... I mean, that's one... It's standing room only when I would give that presentation.
Yeah, that's... I want to listen to that. So what else would cause hair loss? I do believe some inflammation, like around COVID, a lot of women, a lot of people were losing hair. And so I do think if you have virus or a bacteria or something that causes inflammation and then you start losing your hair. So there's, you know, besides hormones, what else can cause hair loss?
So, you know, from a hair doctor point of view, we already knew that severe inflammation and especially a febrile infection was going to cause hair loss. And we knew this from the Spanish flu. Actually, post-febrile alopecia appeared in the medical literature for the first time in the early 1900s, around the time of Spanish flu. So we already knew that with COVID and hospitalization, high fever, when those folks came out, you know, 6 or 12 weeks later, they're going to have some major shedding.
Wow.
And so it was a surprise and a shock to many, but those of us who are in the hair business, we kind of already knew that was coming. So we instituted a whole regimen of treatments specifically for COVID hair loss. I probably treated over 1,000 COVID hair loss related cases.
Wow.
Yeah. And it wasn't just COVID, but then you had the long COVID because then it kind of reappeared again and again and again. We had this, when you have a shedding, it's called effluvium, right? That's so the hair is coming out in a flow, in a synchronized flow. You can have an acute shed or it could be chronic where it happens in waves. And long COVID occurred in waves. And we would see these men and women go through shedding phases.
Yeah.
And then also the vaccination, right?
Yep.
Spike protein dysregulates the immune system. It triggered alopecia areata in patients who were in remission for so many years. It aggressively attacked those who had male and female pattern hair loss. So there was a very, very close association with not just the COVID infection, but also the mRNA that created the spike protein.
When do you think about blood circulation as well? Because I do think like nitric oxide or even with COVID, I'm thinking, you know, with the blood circulation, I think that was another factor. And I've seen a lot of people do these like lymphatic drainage massages, but they're also massaging the scalp and getting blood circulation to the scalp. And so I think maybe too, as you get older, you have less blood circulation and that can be an.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Another cause because you need that oxygen.
Well, it's certainly true. I mean, the follicles are the second most highly metabolic cell population in your body. Number one being your bone marrow. So, you know, your immune system, red blood cells, white blood cells, and all that. That's your number one. Hair follicles, number two.
Wow.
So they're very, very sensitive to nutrients and fuel, obviously, and also inflammation and things that can, you know, affect the body in that way. So I would just say absolutely circulation is critical. And not just from a surgeon's point of view, right? You know, we don't want to be planting hair follicles into an area that has poor circulation. That's not a good idea, right?
Yeah.
So people who have scar tissue, either from previous surgery or from plastic surgery or from an injury or trauma, we want the follicles that we transplant to survive. Mm-hmm. So red light therapy increases blood flow. Mm. Nitric oxide, Dr. Nathan Bryan has amazing products. We use those all the time for our patients.
Okay.
He has a lozenge. He has the liquid gel.
Oh, nice.
A dual chamber gel. We use that very commonly. Hyperbaric oxygen after the procedure to boost oxygen flow, not just in the red blood cells, but actually in the serum part of the blood.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's how hyperbaric actually works. You know, we can dissolve oxygen in the liquid part, not just in the red blood cells.
I know there's so much you can do. And I know you're also using now the acorn stem cells. So, and I didn't realize I had this procedure done. And then they take the hair follicle and they kind of can tell if it's a good quality follicle to use for these secretomes. So can you explain their procedure of what makes a good hair follicle or a good candidate for the acorn stem cells and then the whole procedure for that? Because now you're using this here.
Sure. So Acorn is an amazing biotech company. And what they do is hair follicle stem cell banking. That's their main gig. And so why would you want to bank your hair follicles, right? Yeah. What's the point?
Yeah.
So first of all, we don't have hair cloning yet.
Okay.
But that's the holy grail of hair restoration, right? To have an unlimited supply of hair follicles that we can apply to thinning or balding areas or to thicken thinning zones, you know, without worry that we're going to run out of hair. Mm-hmm. You know, if we have someone who's had multiple transplants, maybe they have scar tissue, a male patient who's running out of donor supply, we got to go to their beard or their body hair. But what's going to happen if we run out of those follicles? Well, that's why we want somewhere in the future, hair cloning, right? Hair follicle multiplication. So what Acorn can do is we can take some hair follicles either from a surgical procedure or even just plucking the hairs during a consultative visit. We get enough biologic material that we can send it off to the lab and they can preserve it.
I lose all of my hair follicles. So they're looking at certain parts of your head that have the good quality follicles.
Always remember, we want to look for the good quality hairs when we do transplantation. Let's say the sides and the back of the scalp are the areas that are going to have the most robust hair follicles.
Is it the thickness? What makes a good follicle for that?
Well, the follicle is resistant to male or female pattern hair loss in those areas.
Okay.
Right. And the follicle is producing the hair fiber, which is thick in quality, hopefully long in length.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, soft and shine and all that, you know, the cuticle, the outcoating of the hair.
Okay. So that's what they're looking
for. So, but what the company is looking for is enough biologic material. If we surgically remove a follicle, it has everything.
Okay.
You don't have to worry. Okay. If we pluck, we actually have to look at that under the microscope to determine if there's enough biologic material. Oh. So that's the difference between a surgical extraction and a pluck, essentially.
Oh, okay. And then tell us how this works and you microneedled.
Well, hold on. We got to get to, well, first we banked your hair follicles.
Yeah.
So that's good news. You know, for less than the cost of a Netflix subscription per year, you have your follicles on ice until your youngest follicles, by the way, until you have hair cloning. But in the medium term, right, we don't have hair cloning yet. So in the interim, what can we do with some of that biologic material? And what they've done is something super clever. They've actually been able to culture those hair follicle stem cells in the laboratory and collect all of the biochemical messages that come off from that cellular material. So everything that comes off into solution, right? Because they have a feeder-free system, which means that there's no additional cells. It's just your own hair follicle stem cells sitting in the incubator, and they're multiplying those cells and collecting all the messages. So they collect and expanding those cells like 100,000 times or more. So very, very powerful concentrated solution that they can then extract from in and around those cells and create what they call a secretome, which is, and they concentrate it down, evaluate it. They can actually process it, you know, in terms of freeze drying it, lyophilizing it, and then send it back to us. So that's what they're doing with your hair follicles in the bank, so to speak, is they're creating your own secretome.
Yeah.
When they send it back to us, that's a procedure called stem grow.
Okay.
So what do we do with stem grow? Well, we reconstitute it, and then we can apply it to the scalp or your skin for rejuvenation. So that's what's happening.
And it's basically giving your body the knowledge to do what it's supposed to do. Because I feel like sometimes our bodies forget how to recover. And so I feel like I'm hoping this tells, you know, our hair, hey, start growing.
Well, it's your own personalized stem cell derived treatment.
Yeah.
Right? So no one else's cells are involved, just yours. And you're taking the messages that come from those stem cells, which are the ones of regeneration and repair, rejuvenation, regeneration and repair. And then we're deploying that. And, you know, people are very familiar with PRP, right? Standard PRP. This is actually has 44 times the growth factors of a standard PRP. Wow. So it's a very, very powerful serum, essentially. Yeah, so that's what's pushed into the skin to stimulate hair growth. Now, we're still doing the science.
Yeah.
So how well this works for every single patient is still a bit of unknown, but it is a very exciting treatment.
And last time I was here, I don't think you had it done yet, but I think I saw a reel or something of you getting the distance. So did you finally bank your own?
I did. So I banked my hair follicles and we're creating the secretome. Okay. And so I'll have the stem grow treatment sooner rather than later.
Okay. So you're doing this for everyone except yourself.
I'm trying to get on board with this, you know.
So I want to also talk about PRP.
Do I need it right here?
Good. So PRP is something, you know, I don't think a lot of people are thinking of, and it is injections for the most part, or can you also microneedle? Can you kind of just give a quick explanation of PRP?
Sure. So PRP stands for platelet-rich plasma. And I think it was Kim Kardashian that really popularized the vampire facelift, right? And so while she was pregnant, she didn't want any chemical therapy, but she wanted to rejuvenate her skin. And so how did they do that? What they did is they took a blood sample, spun out the platelets, which contain these powerful growth factors, and then they microneedle it into her skin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's similar to what we do on the scalp, but actually when we apply PRP into the scalp, there's a more sophisticated processing step. So we can evaluate actually your blood concentration to platelets and then how many platelets are in the final PRP. And we also apply it to the scalp with a complete ring block. So local anesthetic nerve block means that it's completely pain-free.
Okay.
So the scalp is completely numb. And then you get the injections into the scalp with the PRP.
How many injections was it? I'm curious.
So let's call it about 100.
Really? That's what
Yeah, but you're not, how many did you feel?
I don't know. Yeah, I have no
idea. Hopefully zero.
Yeah.
Right? But the point is that the local anesthetic goes in a ring.
Okay.
And everything inside that ring is completely numb.
Okay.
And that's called a field block. And so it's a very, you know, not all physicians do that, actually.
Okay.
Like many dermatologists, they just do the injection of the PRP and hurt the patient. I don't understand why they do that.
And it's common to do about 100 injections. That's the typical. So,
well, you know, again, every physician has a little bit of a different recipe. How they create the PRP might be different. How they apply the PRP. What do they apply the PRP with? Like we said, is it microneedled in?
Yeah.
Is it injected? Are there growth factors? Well, I'll tell you, because I've been doing PRP for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And if I could figure out a better way to do this procedure, I would be doing it. So the way that we do it is we use a dual spin process to create a very high density platelet count that exactly targets the dosage of platelets required for new blood vessel formation and also for stem cell mobilization. So it's a very, very fine-tuned process. And the way that we inject and the location that we inject is very, very critical. So like when I teach this in our hair coach programs or the Bauman PRP class, for example, I teach them how to prepare the PRP and then how to deploy it correctly into the skin.
So not just wherever.
It's not a hazard thing.
Yeah. I don't think people, I mean.
There's nuance.
Yeah. I think a lot of these clinics are just injecting wherever is microneedling also common?
So we actually do a microneedling step for all PRP patients.
Okay.
And that's the point where we can apply, for example, the StemGro, if you want. So usually we'll put a growth factor liquid on top. Mm-hmm. We can use your StemGro. So your stem cell-derived treatments can be added to the PRP treatment with the microneedling at this moment.
Yeah. And what are your thoughts on exosomes?
Well, we love exosomes. Exosomes are great. This is a very exciting field of study. There are now 100,000 published papers on exosomes in the clinical literature, which is, you know, and this is something that Big Pharma and other companies are putting a lot of effort into because these are very, very tiny nanoparticles, essentially, that are delivering messages to the skin and to other organs and to the body. So exosome treatment is very, very fast-moving, expanding field. Right. But here's the thing. Exosome is just a little bubble that just tells you like what the bubble is. It doesn't tell you what's in it. So every single exosome that's out there on the marketplace right now is a little bit different.
Yeah.
So if you're going to apply exosomes, you better know what's the payload in the exosome. What was the source material? Right. What kind of stem cells, for example? Was it your own? Was it somebody else's?
Yeah.
You know, is it a plant? Is it a human? Is it an animal, right? Those are all important questions to ask. And then what's the quality? How many exosomes are in that little vial? Usually they come hundreds of billions. How do you know? Well, you better have a third party tested.
Yeah.
And then
what's the quality too? Because I think so many people are now providing this at clinics, but is it good quality? Is there a risk factor, especially donor-based stem cells, even exosomes? I think there's, you know, no one is asking when you go to maybe a hair clinic or someone just doing aesthetics. No one is saying, hey, where did the exosomes come from? Where did the stem cells come from? So how do we know if it's good quality and is there a risk factor?
Right. So those are all great questions. And some of them we don't even know yet.
Yeah.
Right? So we don't inject exosomes. We're using them in conjunction with transplantation to soak grafts, for example. So while we take the follicles out of the body, they're usually put into very sophisticated holding solution in a very, very specific temperature controlled setting with a little bit of laser light on top. But now we can put exosomes into that solution. And what I found is when we do that and we reimplant the follicles into the scalp is that not only heals faster, but actually grows much faster.
Wow.
So twice as fast, actually. So instead of waiting 16 weeks to see the growth, you can get growth coming in at about 8 weeks.
I know. I think people are really loving the benefits of exosomes and some stem cells. They're seeing really great results. What is the typical result for PRP? Does everyone benefit? Does everyone see results?
Well, no, absolutely not. I mean, you have to clear up some of those holistic factors first, right? Are there things that are happening at the level of the scalp or in lifestyle situation? Like we said, blood flow, right? If you could push all kinds of stimulants into the scalp, and that would include medicinal applications of minoxidil and things like that. But if the follicles are not being fed the right material, you know, protein and nutrients and fuel, they're not going to make a new hair.
iron.
Right.
It's efficient. So there's really impact your hair. And a lot of people don't want to do the typical blood panel. And I'm like, that could save your hair, not just your cells, but also the looks.
Right. So I, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it before a treatment like that is applied.
Yeah. So there's so much you can do for the hair. And you also have your red light helmet that you have. So can you tell us, you developed this, and how beneficial is it to use like a red light helmet?
Yeah. So, well, red light therapy is an amazing treatment option for a variety of conditions, right? If you have pain or inflammation in a joint or in a muscle, you can use red light to decrease the pain, decrease the inflammation, to stimulate healing in a wound that you have. And so red light has been a part of the practice since the 1990s. Wow. I had my first red light in-office device from Sweden in our waiting room. And it didn't have a whole lot of diodes in it. It had about 60 diodes, and it made a lot of noise as it rotated around the patient.
Okay.
But it was, I was certain that it wouldn't work, actually. And that's one of the reasons why I convinced the distributor to lend it to me. And the more patients we put under that darn helmet, the more hair we grew. I know. So, obviously we've
progressed. People are using the caps. I know Brian Johnson, Chowder of Higher Dose, everyone's now just putting it on for like 2 minutes.
So the in-office helmets, to the laser combs, to the bands, to the caps, to what we have now, the Bowman Turbo Laser Cap. Yeah, that's the premier device on the market. Medical grade lasers that cover 25% more than any other device on the market in terms of your scalp. It's going to cover from the temple and the hairline all the way through to the nape of the neck. Completely portable, rechargeable, powerful.
Do you use chemical it every day? Do you just do
5 minutes every day? Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Great for healing after a hair transplant.
Yeah.
And good to stimulate your existing hair follicles to grow thicker, better, stronger by providing energy right to the follicle. So red light is going to increase ATP production. That's going to be used by the cells as energy, and you're going to grow a thicker, better, stronger, healthier hair. So FDA clear for hair regrowth. This is not, you know, pseudoscience. This is not a question mark. It's now well-defined in the literature, the mechanism and the results that you can expect. But here's the thing that you need to know. If the follicle is already dead and gone, shining a red light is not going to help you. Okay. Right? So that's where you need the assessment and the evaluation. So like male pattern baldness, it happens in zones, right? The hairline first, the crown area next, right? And so you need to know how much hair is in each zone so that you know what to expect from the treatment.
Yeah. I think a lot of people just want that one solution. And really it's always maybe some deficiencies, and then also treating the scalp, and there's just so much that goes into it, your hormones and everything. So everyone just wants that one supplement, that one device, but really,
and the genetics too. I mean, look, you can look at the first FDA approved medication, right? Topical minoxidil, Rogaine, was approved back, what, 1970 something. Okay. Genetically you could be predisposed not to respond to topical minoxidil.
Oh, I feel most people are responding, which I wanted to talk about, because medications, I feel like, are also getting popular. I know a few doctors that are just prescribe it to everyone, and, you know, oral and topical.
Mm-hmm.
Are there side effects with these medications for oral and the topical? And then if people do stop using it, will their hair come out?
Yeah. So commitment to medications like minoxidil, just, you know, the original, and then finasteride, which is the second FDA-approved medication, or even stronger medications, is a lifelong commitment.
Okay.
Right? Because we said hair loss is chronic and progressive. It gets worse without treatment. If you start a treatment and then you discontinue it, you're going to have hair loss after that.
Okay.
Not worse than it was before. There's no spite response, but you'll go back to your baseline, and then you'll continue to go through your natural degradation process.
Okay.
But absolutely, with any medication comes some risk.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. The question is, what's the risk and the benefit, right? All of us drive down the highway with a seatbelt on, and we accept that risk, right, of an accident or a truck or whatever. And so it's the same with medications. If you want to achieve a certain goal, you have to accept some risk and benefit.
Yeah.
Some risk with the benefit, right? So minoxidil can work great for those who are genetically predisposed to do well with minoxidil. Even topical minoxidil can do fantastic. But you've got to be disciplined, diligent, apply it twice a day, every day. If you can't do that, then you're better off maybe with the oral version. But don't overdo it.
If someone comes to you and they have, you know, a little bit of hair loss, is that the first thing you would go to? Or would you say, hey, let's look at maybe some deficiencies. Let's try some red light. Let's try, you know, PRP. And then that would kind of be the, you know, if nothing's working, let's put you or on minoxidil, or would you put that in conjunction with all these?
So the treatment algorithm is always least invasive to more invasive. So just like we talked about the holistic factors, the genetics, and some of the non-chemical therapies. But what we also do know is that stacking treatments, because there's no miracle cure yet, stacking these treatments is really where we're going to get the best result. So making sure that, you know, your iron levels are up, your vitamin D levels are up, that you've got good protein intake. And then you stack a stimulator on top of that, whether it's red light or a topical medication, and that's where you're going to get the boost.
And what do you prefer? Do you prefer oral or topical for minoxidil?
Well, that depends on the patient, right? Because certainly you could use both.
Okay.
If you look at the clinical data, it's about the same. But in real life, people are more consistent with the oral.
Okay. So that's
they're great. Less consistent, less rigorous, more sloppy with topicals, right? Sometimes they skip. I'm going out for dinner, or I got home late, or I'm going to the gym, or blah, blah, blah. If you're taking a pill every day, you know you're getting it like every single day, and you know it's much more consistently good.
Okay.
But you have to be careful. You have to microdose it. You can't go overboard with minoxidil. Minoxidil is a blood pressure lowering agent. So you don't want to give them the blood pressure dose. You want to give them the hair growth dose. So that's like important. Okay. To know.
And there's the other one for finasteride?
Finasteride.
And do you prefer one over the other?
Well, finasteride works totally different.
Okay.
Finasteride for men, for sure, is going to be probably the more powerful medication because it inhibits the production of DHT, which I'm said is a trigger, right, for hair loss. So when you start on finasteride, the DHT levels go low. Not down to zero, but they go down like 70% in the bloodstream. And that protects the hair follicles pretty well. Like 90% of guys on finasteride, oral finasteride, standard dose, will look the same or better in the long run. That's pretty good for a drug. But 2% of patients can have side effects.
Yeah, I remember even listening, I think it was on some news podcast where some guy had a...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Like anxiety or something from the oral finasteride.
So, well, the most common side effects, the ones that we saw in the clinical trials, are going to be sexual side effects like decreased libido, mild decreased libido, mild erectile dysfunction. Good news, these are reversible.
Okay.
Stop the medication, it comes out of your system in a week.
Okay.
But there are other...
Something to look out for when you start taking medication that people should be aware
of. Well, before you start the medication, you should be aware of what the side effects could potentially be so you know what to do about it.
Yeah.
We can switch you to a topical
finasteride,
which reduces the amount of the systemic absorption dramatically. So that may be a stopgap for someone who's particularly sensitive to the oral version.
What are your thoughts on creatine? I know there's a big debate of if I take creatine, I have hair loss. Do you see that?
Well, first of all, creatine has a lot of good effects. And there's more research every single day, more than just muscle growth and water retention in the muscle, but brain function and things like that. But what we also know is there is some research that shows, and you know, research is research. It's not like, you know, the moment of truth, just so you know, research is something that it's science, it's ongoing, right? But the research shows that if you look at young men who are taking creatine, it boosts their DHT. Their blood levels were significantly higher than if they were not on the creatine.
Oh, wow.
So are they at risk for hair loss? Well, maybe, maybe not. If you're not at risk for hair loss, creatine's no big deal. It's not a poison for your hair.
Yeah.
But if you're genetically susceptible to male pattern hair loss, then the creatine could affect it.
Interesting.
Okay, we think.
So, yeah. I know there's just a quick debate where some men, and that's probably why, are saying that they see some hair loss because of that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you are boosting up your DHT, whether it be just simple resistance training or hard workouts, whatever, you know, maybe eating better, whatever it may be, you know, you could experience more hair loss. If you're taking creatine, that boosts the DHT, and you're sensitive to DHT, right? Those two things have to happen simultaneously. Then you can see some hair loss. And some people say, oh, creatine, it doesn't cause any hair loss. Well, maybe that's the guy who's immune to male pattern hair loss. Yeah. So for him, it's not a big deal.
I think you should always be intuitive and listen to your body and know 100%. What's going on. So I also want to talk about, you know, peptides as well and topicals, because, you know, there's so much out there of rosemary, mint, or any of these things. I want to know your opinion.
I'm trying not to roll my eyes, Danny. I'm really...
I am using those hair oil
trends. Oh, no. You're following the TikTok trends where you have a hair doctor. Come on. Seriously.
Trying to do everything. And I also want to hear your thoughts on peptides and maybe injecting and also topical.
Yeah. So, I mean, when someone says that they come in and they're on rosemary oil...
Castor oil?
So, look, all of us know, I think intuitively, that there are some natural ingredients that are probably healthy for us, but there's no miracle essential oil that's going to regrow your hair. Yeah. I mean, that's just not going to happen. And I've yet to see that small, little, tiny study on rosemary versus minoxidil be repeated.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and especially even in my clinical practice, you know, over 34,000 patients treated in nearly 30 years, rosemary oil is probably not going to be the answer for you. Although it smells great. And it's great on chicken, by the way. But the point is that there may be some things that we just don't know. And I'm totally open to that. Like improving your scalp health. Like even just the oil part, right? If your scalp is dry, maybe that's helping.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's handling something at the level of the scalp in terms of the microbiome, but we just don't know the answers yet.
Yeah.
So dovetailing back, I probably would, you know, not dissuade you from using your rosemary oil.
Probiotics.
But wait, we want to talk about peptides. Hang on.
Probiotics to make the scalp microbiome.
We are working on the research to show which probiotics are going to be helpful for the scalp, because it's different than the ones that are in your gut. Okay. So, but that's really important. The microbiome of the scalp is in a delicate balance. And if something gets overgrown, like especially the fungus, the melathesia, you're going to have seborrheic dermatitis. And we know that for
sure.
So there's definitely an issue there. So I probably would not dissuade you, just circling back, not dissuade you from the rosemary oil, but maybe let's find something else to add to the regimen, you know, that might work a little bit more powerfully, let's say, you know, just kind of think about stacking it in. And, you know, as a biohacker, you want to measure your hair growth. So if you're starting some kind of therapy or treatment, I don't care if you're doing yoga poses upside down at night. Well, let's measure it and see if that works, you know?
Yeah.
So then you asked about peptides, and I'm a huge fan of peptides.
Okay.
You know, these are bioactive molecules that have been used for decades. I mean, you want to know why the Russian weightlifting team back in the 1970s or 80s won? It was the peptides, probably, right? But anyway, the point is that the favorite hair peptide is really copper tripeptide, right? Copper GHK. Mm-hmm. And that's been around for a long time now with a lot of great research behind it in terms of skin, hair follicle metabolism and hair follicle support, and also perhaps even protecting the melanocytes, which are the pigmentation cells, the stem cells that create the pigment in the hair.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of copper peptide. We can apply that. You can apply that topically at home.
Okay.
With we have a topical peptide AM, PM regimen serum that we use, not just copper peptide, but zinc thymolin and PDBDBM with methylvalinate is those two or four, I should say, that we use. But we can also push copper peptide through the skin with ultrasound. Oh. And that's a different treatment called TED, transepidermal delivery.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we do that once a month.
Ultrasound is becoming very popular, we're realizing.
Yeah, because you can push large molecules through the skin with ultrasound.
Wow.
So I think it's 50,000 kilohertz or whatever the number is, that it basically sounds like your electric toothbrush or jewelry cleaner. That's the vibration that disrupts the stratum corneum, which allows more penetration of whatever serum you would like. So if you want to push large molecules that are pharmaceutical in nature, or even you want to push exosomes through, we just did a clinical trial on that. Wow. Or if you want to do some peptide solution too, we can do that.
Wow. So yeah. Another quick question, anyone who's struggling with dandruff, what do you do for dandruff? Is
yeah. So dandruff is one of those kinds of symptoms like a headache, right? Like what's causing the dandruff? Yeah. And are the flakes large? Are they small? Are they yellow? Are they white? Is the scalp dry? Is it oily? Because you can have oily dandruff and you can have dry dandruff. Mm. All of that goes into the science of trichology, which is the study of the hair and the scalp.
Okay.
The health of the scalp, essentially. And so I have a full-time international...
No head and shoulders?
Hold on. You need to get an evaluation. You don't just pull a bottle off the shelf. Come on. This is not, this is not what we do.
People are doing that. Yeah.
Well, it's funny you mentioned head and shoulders because they sell like 1,000 bottles a minute. Right?
Wow.
So what does that tell you about the people's scalp?
Wow. It
tells you that there's a big problem out there in the world.
I know. I mean, as I just got my hair colored and my hairstylist was telling me, she sees a lot of scalps that are not healthy when she's doing the hair. It's very, very common. I was like, oh.
So how do we figure that out?
Yeah.
So my internationally trained certified trichologist has an entire department and her team inside Bauman Medical. And she also goes to Amrit Ocean, which is a resort, a health and wellness resort here in South Florida. And we often bring her to different expos and conferences to do scalp evaluations as we're talking to people about their hair loss situation.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people are thinking about testing their scalp. It's very, I mean, even for me as a biohacker, it's not something, you know, I just see all the time. And it's so important because you want to know what's going on and actually get to the root cause. And most people don't.
It's true. There was an article that was written in a very, very, very popular spa magazine. This was 10 or 15 years ago. And it said, the scalp, the hidden frontier. You know, what that meant was that it's everybody has it. But you don't think about it.
Yeah.
And usually you mistreat it, right? Mm-hmm. So what does it mean? You know, you're leaving all the hair product on that you've sprayed. You've gone to the gym or you've gone to the beach or whatever. And you're not really like taking care of the skin of your scalp the way you would take care of your face or your hands or your arms or your neck or chest, you know?
Yeah.
And so now is the new frontier has been, you know, revealed.
Yeah.
And that's what trichology does is it evaluates your scalp.
We're all in this prevention phase instead of reacting. So I think before we just let, you know, baldness or hair thinning become a thing, but now we're trying to be preventative.
Absolutely.
I also wanted to discuss with you the PP40 clinical trial going on.
PP405.
PP405. Can you explain this? Because this is just a new thing that I'm hearing about as a topical.
Yes. So, just in the world of hair loss and hair restoration, there aren't too many like drugs or compounds that are really quote unquote in the pipeline, right? We talked about hair cloning, maybe that's years and years away. PP405 is one of those compounds that looks promising. Does that mean it's going to be a miraculous hair growth medicine or some kind of miracle cure? Probably not, because we have seen these things kind of come and go. I'm optimistic that it'll be another great tool in the toolbox. Obviously, what are the benefits? What are the risks? We don't know. But they've got a lot of good science behind them, UCLA. The company called Pallage is basically managing the clinical trials. They're already got some very, very good investments. So there's, you know, you're going to look at, have they gotten investment? How many rounds of investment? How much money have they raised? So that means that they've convinced a lot of, you know, hopefully smart people to kind of buy in to think that maybe this might work. And so in order to get that going, you have to have some clinical trial work. So they did some safety work, they did some studies, and the next phase is coming soon. So I think they're going into phase 3 trials next year, 2026. Okay. And they just raised a bunch of money for that. So look, this is great news.
Yeah.
Because it would be awesome to have another tool in the toolbox that maybe, you know, has fewer side effects, perhaps.
Yeah.
But we have yet to see all of that pan out. So is it exciting that there's something new in the pipeline? 100%. Is it going to be a miracle? I'm cautiously optimistic. So let's see what happens.
We'll see. And I wanted to ask you, I think, one more thing. Mm. Is there a certain age where someone you would not be able to do like a hair transplant, or someone shouldn't, you know, say it's just, this is reality and I am losing my hair?
So there, I wouldn't say there's a strict age restriction, but there's cautions, right? So we've operated on patients as young as 14.
Okay.
Why do we do that? People are like, oh my God, why would you? Well, the kid was in middle school and he had a birth defect. It was a huge bald spot on his scalp. And he was realizing that kids were making fun of him because of that lack of hair in that area. Mm. So through my pro bono foundation, we did a hair restoration procedure. So Bauman Philanthropic provided the resources to bring him into the clinic and for us to do the procedure. And it was an amazing, life-changing thing. He was featured on the news. It was a whole thing. He had a great result from the procedure. And he was a trooper. I mean, he was so excited about the procedure. If you asked him if it did it hurt at all, he would say no. I mean, he had a great-looking result. And everybody was happy. And, you know, of course, mom and dad also.
Yeah.
Very happy that, you know, he wasn't being teased or taunted because he had, the, you know, a big bald spot on the back of his head. So... but obviously young patients, let's talk about male pattern hair loss, you know, in their teenage years, we're seeing kids, boys who are graduating high school with bald spots in the back of their scalp due to male pattern baldness.
Wow.
So there is an aggressive strain, let's say, or aggressive genetic condition where it hits them at a very young age. And at that age, they're most vulnerable because they're a very, very small minority, right? As I said, 20% of men in their 20s.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be that one guy out of five, you know, hanging out with your friends and being the one that looks like he's 30, with sitting hairline. So, but getting medical therapies or treatments that are non-invasive on board as soon as possible is the critical step. The mistake would be to transplant that gentleman without the preventative therapies. Mm-hmm. Because as we said, transplanted hair is permanent. He's going to lose the hair behind if he's not on board.
What about someone who's 80 or 90?
Oh, well, what's interesting in being in the field of health and wellness and, you know, being in the network, let's say biohackers or anti-aging, we have a lot of patients in their 80s.
Oh, wow.
And they're amazing. You know, we have guys in their 80s dating women in their 50s and things like that. You know, they're fully functional and, you know, traveling the world.
They want their hair in their 80s.
There's 100%. 80s. Yeah, they're expanding their health span.
And you can do a hair transplant and they're perfectly fine.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there are people who are younger than that who may medically have some issues and they're not going to do well with hair transplantation. Women, for example, with scarring types of alopecias that happen in their 50s and 60s are not sometimes great candidates for transplants if they have active inflammation in the area of concern. Right? The hairline is receding. The hairs have been converted into scar tissue. Active inflammation is going on. So it's not an age thing in particular. It's more of a medical thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a lot. We have patients who have had coronary bypass, you know, who are in their health and wellness. They're, you know, playing tennis and golf. They're swimming and traveling the world with their spouses or whatever. Yeah, they want hair.
Okay.
You don't outgrow the want or desire for hair, as far as I've seen.
I know. I just, you know, with the procedure, I didn't know if there's more risk factor or that you wouldn't be a good candidate.
Again, for sure, Jenny, each patient gets evaluated, you know, in terms of not just their age, their health, but their maturity too. And that happens because there are guys who are in their 30s who are not mature. I mean, sure, you know. And so, you know, we decline them.
Yeah.
You know, if they have issues.
Okay.
You know.
So what is the future of hair restoration and Bauman Medical?
So, Bauman Medical has been around since 1997, and every single year we have strived to innovate to help take care of more patients. And so, you know, our mission is to eliminate hair loss and to improve the quality of lives of those who are suffering from hair thinning and hair loss.
Yeah.
So we will continue that mission no matter what. I'm in no way done. We are expanding all areas of the practice. I have an associate physician, Dr. Rose. She's amazing. So she's going to help out on the surgical side as well as the regenerative treatments that we do, PRP. She's also an expert in female hair loss, African-American hair loss. I have my nurse practitioner, who is also very deeply involved with the regenerative medicine part of the practice. She's also tied in with my trichology team. So if the patient undergoing a trichology exam needs medication, nurse practitioner can help out with that. We're building a head and med spa. So we're combining the science of the trichology with a feel-good type treatment, scalp massage, which you had asked about previously.
Yeah.
So I got inspired when I traveled in Asia over the past couple of years. So I haven't been to South Korea yet, but I've been to Japan and, you know, in Tokyo and Bangkok and a couple of other Kuala Lumpur. And I've had a number of scalp treatments and also in India as well.
Okay.
So trying to combine some of that Far Eastern let's just say shihatsu style massage of the scalp along with the scientific scalp makeover that we already have in our transporting do good, feel good treatment.
Okay.
So that's going to be coming soon. So we're under construction right now. Stay tuned.
Did you see Salmon Sperm injections for the hair? I know it's a big thing for the face, but are they doing that for the hair?
So interesting you say that. There are chemically derived versions of that particular molecule in a topical that we can microneedle.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's called Calisum.
So where do you think the future is going for hair transplants and hair regrowth and prevention?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that are happening right now. So, for example, we just got a 3B laser, which is a powerful laser that causes non-ablative, it's a fractional laser, non-ablative fractional laser that stimulates the skin to grow better hair. Wow. So that treatment is available now.
Okay.
And we're one of the first to have it in the country and especially in this area. So we're pretty excited about that. We talked about hair follicle stem cell banking. So that's been available a couple of years, but then that treatment, the secretome or stem grow treatment that we're doing topically right now in 2026, the clinical trials will start on the injectable version of that.
Wow.
So stay tuned.
Okay.
That is your own personalized hair follicle stem cell derived secretome or stem cell derived treatment that we're going to apply to the scalp. So we're excited about that.
Instead of microneedling.
Yeah. Okay. 2026. So hang on.
Okay.
For that. And then eventually, I think with the advent of AI, we're going to have hair follicle cloning at some point.
Okay.
You know, I don't know when it's going to be, but in the next couple of weeks, I'll be visiting one of the primary researchers in skin organoids up at Harvard. Carl Kohler is doing a lot of amazing research. He's creating spherical skin organoids in a lab that are also growing hair. So this is the first step. And that's not actually unusual. There are a couple of other labs around the world that are doing that. But I want to see exactly what he's doing. I want to see how big those hair follicles are and what they make in terms of hair. But that's the first step. If we can manage that spherical organoid, which makes hair on its own,
yeah,
then we'll have one step closer to hair follicle cloning.
I mean, we're doing some 3D printing organs, where I think there's something about regrowing teeth. So
sure. Yeah, I just saw that.
Do the hair as well.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, already those hair follicle stem cells have been proven to be able to be turned into pancreatic cells, which could be helpful for diabetics. We can create cartilage from that. They can do serotonergic neurons. So maybe brain tissue,
yeah,
bone. So we're seeing that your hair follicles might be the source of, you know, your spare parts later on in life as we continue to grow and live beyond 120 or whatever Dave is telling us that we're going to be growing and living to.
Baldness and hair thinning will not be a thing hopefully in a few years, but
let's see.
Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. I learned so much. I hope everyone else enjoyed this podcast and learned everything. So this was so great. So thank you so much for coming on. And
thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Dr. Alan Baumann and learned how far the field of hair restoration has come. If you're noticing changes in your hair or simply want to stay proactive, now is the time to start. You can learn more about Dr. Baumann and his work at Baumann Medical. Also, don't forget to subscribe, review, and share the Biohacker Bonnie podcast with anyone looking to optimize their health. Your support really helps me continue bringing you conversations with the world's leading experts in biohacking and wellness. Until next time, keep taking charge of your health, your energy, and your longevity journey.